Welcome to the Titan Sized Podcast. I'm Luke Worsham, joined by the other two hosts of the Titan Sized Podcast, Matthias Wadner and Will Lomas. We're going to take this episode to kind of, we're going to recap the Ravens game, but we're also going to talk a little bit about where the Titans kind of find themselves at the moment in the AFC South. We'll talk a little bit about the Jaguars, the Texans, and the Colts. So let's start with this. The Titans have won three games in a row. They've won seven out of their last eight home games as a team. They're 6-3, have sole possession of first place in the AFC South thanks to a tiebreaker against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and yet people want to say that they're playing below expectations, and I think that's fair, but Titans fans need to be pretty happy. They've got a good football team.
Yeah, it hasn't been particularly pretty, if you will. Obviously, you always want your team to come out and blow the other team out, or at least just play very well. I wouldn't say the Titans have played extremely well as of late, but I mean, three straight wins in the NFL are still three straight wins, and it's not easy to win in this league, no matter who you're going up against. So we'll take the wins, and we're still in first place right now in the AFC South, and honestly, that's all that matters. And even if we weren't in first place in the AFC South, I think we'd still have a wild card spot. So, I mean, be happy with that, regardless of how the team has played as of late.
Yeah, I mean, I think the point of the early part of the regular season is find what's working, find what's not, get into your rhythm, and, you know, learn what you are as a team while winning games. You know, the Titans have gotten that down pretty much. They know that play action should be a big part of their game. They know Corey Davis has to be healthy for the offense to really go. The key now is not losing more than six games, because if you look historically, teams with 10 wins are the teams that really get into the playoffs. They've got a really solid chance. There's sometimes teams with 9 wins win divisions, and sometimes they even win and go in the wild card. But if you win 10 games, it's something like an 80%+ chance that you make it to the playoffs, whether it's a division winner or in the wild card. So the Titans have to find a way to get those next 5 wins, however they can, against whatever team, it doesn't matter, and then just get into the tournament. So, you know, I'm happy to be on top for once. You know, we're at the halfway point. We're not looking up at anybody and worrying about how they're going to lose games while we win games. So I'm happy sitting at the top for once halfway through the season.
And, you know, it'd be different if they were sitting at 3-6 and we were saying these things like, oh, man, they're not performing up to expectation. The coaching staff's not doing their job. They've got a talented roster, but it's just not all coming together. We're saying those things and they're 6-3. Like, and there's a reason, to your point, Will, that the term mid-season form exists. Titans just aren't in it yet. And when we saw them last year, after not only were they inconsistent at the beginning of the year, they were losing games at a rapid pace at the beginning of the year. And towards the end of the season, you saw them beat Denver. You saw them blow out the Packers. You saw the late win in Kansas City. You saw them come back without Mariota and beat Houston in the last week of the season. Right, they need to get into that form. They just haven't gotten into it yet, and I don't think anybody's necessarily to blame for that.
Now, I also think a lot of this, a lot of the NFL in general, just these games have a lot of luck built into them and a lot of just randomness built into them. The Titans could easily be maybe they could have lost 2 more games, and they just as well could be 6-2 right now, if it wasn't for that Dolphins game, which, to be honest, the Dolphins shouldn't have gotten that defensive score. That shouldn't have even been called. So we could have won that game 10-9, or even if Mariota never got injured, we probably would have won that game, and we'd be 6-2 with a game up on the AFC South and probably feeling a lot better about ourselves than we do right now. So that's the way the NFL goes. You got to roll with the punches.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, a lot of it is luck, you know, but it's the good teams that come on the right side of luck more often than not. You know, there's not, you know, last year there were 3 games where you said, well, if, you know, Marcus doesn't fumble, then maybe Minnesota doesn't beat us. If we don't get that bad pass interference call or that stupid unnecessary roughness call against the Raiders, maybe we win that. You know, there's a reason why the Titans are winning by, you know, a pretty large margin and a lot in the third quarter in a lot of their games, even though the final only ends up in a one score, is because the Titans do enough early to get in front by two scores. And then, for better or worse, I don't love pulling off the gas like we do sometimes, but you know, for better or worse, they kind of let teams move the ball. And you know, we saw it last week where they, not really true prevent, but just calling off the dogs and letting them run out the clock. You know, I don't remember how many onside kicks we've seen this year. It feels like three or four, but you know, the Titans have done a good job by the third quarter setting themselves up to win, and then Marcus and company usually find a way to add a score and really shut it off. So you know, that all that stuff, there's a good bit of luck. You know, the tipped pass from Logan Ryan to Kevin Byard, you know, if it goes too far or too short, it's not an interception, and that's a key play. So some of that is luck, but, you know, you've got to have the players to pick the ball off. It's not a coincidence that Kevin Byard has 5 in 2 games. So, I mean, you know, the Titans are getting the players thanks to John Robinson, and as mad as I've been at him, they're getting some really good play calls from Dick LeBeau, and Rubisky's calling it up and getting them in the right position enough to win football games.
You mentioned
Dick LeBeau listens to the podcast. That's why we're
big fan.
You mentioned the success of Kevin Byard in the last couple of weeks. I want to talk for a little bit about the Titans defensive backs. We'll talk about the corners in a second, but let's stay on the topic of Kevin Byard. I was talking to you a little bit, Will, after the game, and we were trying to figure out who is an NFL comparison for Kevin Byard, and you had mentioned names like Charles Woodson. But, I mean, Charles Woodson was like a 6'1 corner, and Kevin Byard's 5'11. I mean, I thought he was going to be Tayshaun Gibson when he came into the NFL, just that kind of center field ball hawk that gets his hand on a lot of balls. But he's shown the ability to blitz. He's shown the ability to stop the run inside the box. And not to be Tayshaun Gibson, but be like an Earl Thomas kind of safety when he plays center field. He's becoming, like, not just, you know, a quality NFL safety. He's becoming a rare, rare talent.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird to see somebody who can play comfortably in the box, off the edge, at corner, at free safety, at strong safety. He does everything well, and he's talked about it in interviews. He said it's like being in the Matrix in his second year. Everything just goes by slower for him. I mean, and if that's how he feels, that's how it shows up on the field. I mean, he's just a rare player. You know, I wrote today that he's gone from combine snub to possibly all pro caliber in a year and a half, you know, and part of that's because Dick LeBeau's taken him under his wing and has been coaching him, and he calls him his son, and you know, all that. They have a really strong connection, and you know, I think Dick LeBeau may end up owing Kevin Byard about a year of his salary, because he may get him the job next year, where in the beginning of the season it didn't look like he was going to have a lot of hope for that. So now Kevin Byard is special. You know, guys like Charles Woodson come to mind, because I can see Kevin Byard line up at corner and play, you know, man coverage against Jimmy Graham as a safety and dominate Jimmy Graham. I mean, we saw that happen. You know, we can watch him line up from inside the box and roll with a guy like good cover linebackers do and get an interception like he did against Joe Flacco and Benjamin Watson last week. So, you know, he's a rare guy, and I don't really know a comparison for him that really sticks out. But, I mean, I just don't know how you can play safety much better than Byard's playing.
Yeah, he's really a complete safety, it seems like, at this point. It kind of feels like he took his rookie year just to learn the ropes of being in the box and not playing just like a center field role like he did in college. But yeah, he looks fantastic right now, and he looks like he's well on his way to a Pro Bowl season, which is really good to see. And I feel like the interceptions were always going to come. A lot of, like I said before, a lot of football is just randomness and luck, and a lot of it just it'll regress to the mean over time. And Byard didn't have any interceptions last year, even though he was in good position most of the time. And even earlier in the season, he was always in good position. The interceptions just weren't coming, and now they're coming in bunches, and you're seeing just how good he really is.
So now let's move on and talk about the corners. And I want to talk about both of the Titans starting corners. because, you know, after watching this game, first of all, I thought Logan Ryan had one of the best games at Titans corner has had in a long time. He made a couple of really just smart veteran plays that Titans cornerbacks of old would not have made. So the Titans starters right now are Adoree Jackson and Ryan. Ryan, veteran corner, kind of prototypical size for what teams like today in a cornerback. Not the fastest guy in the world, but he's very versatile. He can play nickel. He can play on the outside. He can match up with number one receivers. And then you have Adoree Jackson, the speed demon, who you know, had tons of pass deflections on Sunday and has yet to really get beat down the field like you often see rookies doing. This is the team last year that at one point was sending out Antoine / Valentino Blake and Parrish Cox to be their cornerbacks. And the upgrade that the Titans have had is crazy. You don't have to have Deion Sanders or Patrick Peterson or Chris Harris Jr., those lockdown kind of cornerbacks, to have a successful defensive backfield. And I think the Titans have really shown that this year because they've really yet to get torched by any receiver other than maybe Will Fuller, who caught a couple of shorter touchdowns against them when they faced Houston.
Yeah, they've both been fantastic. And they've been huge offseason additions. Logan Ryan's play on Flacco's first interception was honestly, I think that's the best defensive play from a cornerback I've seen from a Titans cornerback since maybe Alteron Burner when he made that flying interception off Flacco, actually, ironically. But that was just such a smart play to peel off his initial defender that he was covering, read the ball in the air, and just pop it up into the air with his, I think it was like his helmet. He just got in there. So that was a really smart play. And what you're seeing that these cornerbacks have brought to this team, I think Will tweeted this out earlier. I think it was earlier today, but I've been preaching it for a while that the Titans just are not giving up big plays, and that's particularly true in the passing game. Last year in 2016, they were tied for the fifth worst in the NFL, surrendering 12 pass plays of 40 yards or more, and this year they've given up just one, which is tied for the best in the NFL. So all the offseason additions that they've made in the secondary are really, really gelling together well.
Yeah, I mean, We always talk about defensive backs need to have an impact. You can't just be there to erase a guy. You want turnovers. But we haven't seen guys like this before. I mean, Logan Ryan and Adoree Jackson both have seven batted passes each, I think. They look good in tandem. Adoree Jackson has looked every bit the first-round corner. It's going to get overshadowed because Marshon Lattimore has been great for the Saints. And we all knew he would be. He was a guy that the Titans probably thought about picking in the with their first pick and decided not to because of his injury. And that's fine because they got Adoree Jackson, who's done a really good job. But Logan Ryan really is kind of the story of this offseason because early, you know, we saw him give up that big touchdown pass to the Jets in preseason, and everybody was so ready to call him a bust that even when he had two or three good games in a row, people were still thinking he was a bust because that's what they'd already resigned him to be. And the only catch I can really remember him giving up against Baltimore is this pass over the middle where he kind of fell and tripped over himself, and there was a tackle that got made anyway, so it wasn't like it killed, you know, it was a third down conversion and it wasn't great. But I mean, he's always in position where he needs to be. He can tip passes. He plays inside and out. I don't know which more you could want. I mean, I know people want everybody to be Patrick Peterson, Deion, like we talked about earlier, guys who take the ball away. But if you can tip balls and stop drives, I don't care if I only see you twice a game. You know, you don't have to make those big interceptions. We've got a guy that can do that. So, you know, at this point, I don't know how you can be anything less than excited to the future of the defensive backs, because next year the offseason is going to be focused specifically on defense, and you're going to get more pass rushers, better cover guys. You know, I don't know if that means a new corner or a new safety. I don't know what the plan is there, but I mean, this team is going solidly in the right direction, and we don't have to worry about, you know, which guy we're going to rotate in this week.
I wish Adoree got a couple more chances, like on punt returns and kick returns, so we could like really see the true impact that he could make. I mean, he's had a couple chances on punt returns and kick returns, and he's had some long ones. But I just really want to see him house one of these games. But he hasn't really gotten the opportunity.
No, and I mean, it doesn't help that the Gunners, especially LaShawn Sims, has never really blocked one up correctly. I mean, you watch him on the sideline, and he just gets blazed. But, you know, and I think it was, what was it, Bryce McCain on the fake punt that they threw the ball? So your job as a Gunner most times is to jam the guy at the line of scrimmage, then back off and run with him. If you're doing that, it is really hard for them to get a pass completed like that. So I don't know what it's going to take for Ty Smith to get more playing time on special teams and on and to rotate in. But with him having like one defensive snap in the last four games, and it was an interception against Jay Cutler, I mean, I'm not sure that it's not time to give him some reps and see how he does on special teams, because, you know, we've got two good a good linebacker and a safety guy in Trawick and Bates, who can both play special teams really well as attacking guys who can come down. But if they had a really good person to block up one Gunner, it would change the entire way this goes, because Adoree could go that way and you wouldn't have to do all that stuff with Eric Weems as the up back on some punts, and you could give him a chance to run, because when he gets space, even if everybody takes an angle, he's still going to get 10 to 15 yards for you, which is amazing for a punt or kick returner. I mean, it negate, you know, a 50-yard punt turns into a 35-yard punt. I mean, that's a huge swing in a game. So if they can just find a way to block those guys, whether they've got to put two on one or whatever they've got to do, something has to change there if they really want Adoree to get going on special teams.
So one of the topics we addressed last week was we tried to figure out what's wrong with the Titans running game. And I think I figured it out on Sunday. It's been a couple weeks since I've gotten to watch the Titans in person, and I figured it out. It's that DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry are both not very good at playing football right now. And you know what? That's okay. You do you. But they're both very, very bad. DeMarco Murray is very clearly ailing in some regard. I don't know, on that long swing pass that he caught for big gain, he slowed down at the end and walked out of bounds to avoid contact, and that's not the DeMarco Murray that I'd grown to know and love. And Derrick Henry is either A, bouncing things outside, or B, falling forward for a one-yard gain a la Chris Johnson. So I don't know what to say. Like, what do you do if you're the Titans? Who do you go out and get? Do you go out and get Chris Johnson? I mean, he's a free agent. I mean, what do you do? Do you bring up Kalfani Muhammad? I mean, this team needs some juice in the running game. And I don't know that Kalfani Muhammad is necessarily that juice. I don't know that CJ2K is that juice. But they need some juice, and they need it bad. Maybe it's Fluella.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's flu season, you know? I wrote an article today about DeMarco Murray and just the amount of injuries that he's dealt with this season. A new one popped up after this game, or during this game, I guess. It was a knee injury, and now he's dealing with that. He's been dealing with a hamstring almost all season. He had a shoulder injury for a short amount of time, and in the offseason, before training camp, he had surgery on his right ring finger. So, I mean, apparently age is catching up to him. He hasn't been injury prone as of late, but early in his career, he did struggle with injuries. And it's pretty clear that injuries are just getting up in age, is limiting his effectiveness, because he really just has not been good this season. I mean, he's averaging 4.1 yards a carry, which, I mean, isn't terrible, but if you take out that 75-yard touchdown against the Seahawks, I mean, I know it's ridiculous to take out a 75-yard touchdown, but bear with me here. His yards per carry would be 3.36, and that's just not going to get it done on a consistent basis. And let's not act like Derrick Henry's the savior either. I mean, he's averaging 4.3 yards a carry, but if you take out that 72-yard garbage time touchdown against the Colts, his yards per carry is 3.47. So, I mean, I want to put some of this maybe on the run blocking, because they haven't been great, but, I mean, the running backs just have to be better. There's no other thing to say, and I don't know how you kickstart it without giving Adoree the carries. The
run blocking. The Jacksonville Jaguars are winning games with Blake Bortles throwing about 15 passes a game. And they're doing it without Leonard Fournette, because he's missed the last two games, so they've done it with the combo of T.J. Yeldon and Chris Ivory. Those guys are running with K. Cam Robinson, and an offensive line that in the preseason was starting Jeremiah Putasi. Titans running backs are running to Taylor Lewan and Jack Conklin and Quentin Spain and Ben Jones. Like, the run blocking is not that bad. I think that is an excuse that we're making for these running backs, to be completely honest.
You might be right, and I can't really argue with it. So I think it's David Flewellen time, man. Let's do it.
Why did David Flewellen run in the 40? Because I've been saying they need some juice.
4-2.
No, he's slow, isn't he?
He had that big run in the preseason, but he got chased down from behind.
He looked good in the preseason, I'll tell you that much.
Let's see, David Flewellen
combine. Hold on, let me get the 40 going here. Oh my god, no. He ran a 4.72.
No. Did he really? Fullback David Flewellen? What'd Jalston Fowler run?
Nudie had to run like a 4.6.
Fowler's athletic, man.
Nudie had to run a 4.6 or lower.
Bear Dude. With us. This is great radio.
He ran a 4.86, so no.
Nudie ran 4.94 at the combine.
He ran 4.86 at his pro day, so when he was all juiced up, he got a 4.86. So that's not super great. So the answer is the Titans don't have any speed on their roster. But that's okay. That's what third-round draft picks are for.
And when I say maybe bring up Khalfani Muhammad, I don't mean to run in between the tackles like they used to try to do with Dexter McCluster, who, by the way, is also a free agent. just, like, throw him a screen. Toss it to him. Do something to juice this running game up. Let's take a look. Okay. Let's take a look at free agent running backs right now.
I mean, we've been saying they need to draft, like, a quick receiving back, but they...
And it doesn't have to be Saquon Barkley. It can be, you know.
While y'all look at that, I'll go ahead and talk about something they could do. So they run this diamond pack that we saw, which is two up backs that look like wings, kind of pull back a little far, or like tight ends maybe, and a single back running back and a quarterback in the shotgun, almost in a pistol, or sometimes he can go under center. There's two reasons you run that. You run that for max protect passes, which is what they did with the very first play of the game, or you do you use it so that you almost have two fullbacks, offset fullbacks who can pull and cross the formation and open up those lanes, which they did later in the game with the Derrick Henry 10-yard run. So that's one way you can do it, because you instantly give yourself two different ways you can run in a balanced formation and the threat of the deep pass off play action the Titans have already shown they can do. So that's not a bad way to start, especially if you have Jalston Fowler and Supernaw in the backfield, who are two of the better blockers who can also catch and run a little bit, so you have to worry about them in the short route. And then you can have a guy like Derrick Henry in the back who, you know, is a bigger running back, and who, if you say you're following this guy no matter what, which is what they did on the 10-yard run, if he knows that's what his job is and the hole's there, he can get it. And if he gets an open space, he can do a lot more, but we'll worry about that in the fourth quarter. So that's something you can do formationally, or stop going so tight with your wide receivers that you bring everybody in the box. There's a principle called spread to run, and what it is you run five offensive linemen, a quarterback and a back, and everybody else is out wide. If they stop respecting the wide receivers, you throw it. Until then, you don't let them load up the box with eight guys, because they can't cover Corey Davis and Rashard Matthews and Taywan Taylor and Delanie Walker. All those guys are hard to cover one-on-one, and Mariota can put the ball where it needs to go. So you spread everybody out, and you run, some zone concepts. You run some tosses. You run something, but you can't just line up in the box and run in between tackles and then have, you know, ISO and bounce outs be your only plays where, you know, you're really trying to run.
It wasn't like that last year, it doesn't feel like.
And if it was, it worked. I mean, but whatever's working out or whatever they're doing now is not working. And I don't know if it's because the running backs are hitting the wrong hole. I don't know what the plan is, but it all looks.
So here are their options in free agency right now. You can add, like, right now. Here are the best guys. C.J. Spiller. Carlos.
Who's gotten cut five times by the same team this season.
Carlos Williams, who I always liked but had personal problems.
Yeah, what's wrong with him?
Kenyon Barner. Let's see. Ronnie Hillman. Reggie
Bush. You're not swaying me.
Terrible.
Reggie Bush.
Is he not retired?
No.
We can sign Jonathan Williams off the practice squad from the Broncos. There you go.
Dexter. Boom. Dexter McCluster, who is still not 30 years old yet.
How has Ken Wizard not snatched him up?
I don't know.
He cut him. Well, he didn't cut him.
Fixing to say, he didn't.
And three final options, all three of whom have played in the NFL. Bishop a couple Snake. In the AFC South. Antonio Andrews.
Hell yeah.
Denard Robinson.
Oh my God.
Or Dree Archer.
Oh my God.
He's fast. I mean, you want, but he is actually fat. You know, if you wanted to run jet sweeps and stuff and for whatever reason didn't want to use Taywan Taylor to do it, even though he's really good at it, then that's a guy you could use.
Maybe they should just put Eric Weems at running back and let him try.
I saw somebody today talk about how dangerous it would look if you had Taywan Taylor in the slot or in the backfield lined up, and you also had a Dory Jackson, just to see how defenses responded to it, and you have those two and have them running. I mean, you could run like a two back like read option pit, you know, like a triple option kind of thing, or a read option pit, you know, whatever you wanted with those two back there, and then you could shift them out and also have them, you know, capable running routes, or you could have a Dory come in as the single back and you could have him go out in little flare routes. And, but you know, there's a bunch of different options you could do with that look if you had a creative offensive coordinator, which is why we'll never see it.
I just Googled Dree Archer and, on Google, it says people also ask. And two of the questions are, what did Barry Sanders die from? And is Barry Sanders dead? So I just have to share that.
They think because
he's not even 50 yet, is he?
No, he's in great shape.
Playing under the fake name Dree Archer.
Right.
So, that's why those questions pop up, is because he's that good.
We need to play a game where we do that with like former Titans players and get the people also ask. Like, give me a former Titan, a really bad one.
I just looked up Kenny Britt, but nothing came up.
Nick Harper.
Wow, that's a deep cut.
Yeah. Who is Nick Harper? It doesn't come up with anything. I wish there was a way you could get to the people also ask without it. Just
This game is not as fun.
It's not going well.
Let's talk about this for a second. So we joke about Brandon Whedon, but let's not forget that the Titans also have receiver Darius Jennings on their roster right now. Who is the 53rd man on this roster? Is it Kevin Dodd? Is it Jennings? Is it Whedon?
I was told Kevin Dodd was active this week.
He played 12 snaps.
How did he do?
According to Mike Mularkey, he made some good plays or whatever. I don't know.
He's effective off the edge.
Yeah.
Even though he's like a defensive tackle now, God, not good, man.
But who's guy 53? I think it's probably Jennings.
Are you sure he's on the active roster?
Positive. He was listed as an inactive.
No, it's Whedon.
First of all, why is Whedon even on the roster right now? We don't need him.
Yeah, the third quarterback is always the 53rd man. He's not going to pop up and play some special teams.
I think they just feel bad for bringing him all the way down here, and they're going to give him a couple weeks of salary.
I think they're just waiting until Harry Douglas comes back.
You could be savages like the Texans, where you sign Matt McGloin, and then you're like, nope, and sign Josh Johnson instead.
I felt bad. I honestly felt bad.
Josh Johnson has done nothing. That's the guy that Joe Thomas said he had to introduce himself to in the huddle.
He hasn't thrown a pass since 2011. I saw that tweet today.
And Colin Kaepernick so it's great has. For this.
Oh, God, here we go.
Oh, man. So let's talk a little bit about our quarterback, Marcus Mariota. he's looked very jittery at times this year. You know, he was
cut him.
maybe they need to cut him and sign Kaepernick. That's an option.
I think that's
we'll discuss that more next week. So stay tuned for that. But in all seriousness, though, Marcus has not really played up to the level that he did last year. And I'm not going to be one of these people that's like, you know, he's the next Eli Manning or whatever. I think Marcus is a good quarterback, and I think he still has a lot of potential. But he hasn't really looked all that great this year. He has not looked terrible. I mean, I learned that the week that I had to watch Matt Castle play. But he hasn't looked very good.
You know what's crazy? We kind of saw with Cam Newton, some quarterbacks, I feel, just they play better when the talent level around them isn't like so high. And I don't know if we're seeing that with Mariota, where he got all these new weapons and he's not playing as well as he did last year with a lesser supporting cast. Cam Newton, in his MVP season, he was throwing to like Philly Brown and Ted Ginn Jr., who couldn't catch. And he put up 35 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. And now that he had the best roster of his career, especially on offense, he hasn't looked good at all this season. So I don't know if that has something to do with it, or if maybe it's the hamstring that's he's just not trusting his base when he's throwing. I mean, the interception this week was pretty bad, but I thought other than that, he really didn't. He didn't play bat poorly, at least, aside from maybe the two sacks that he took. I didn't love those. But, I mean, yeah, you're right. He really hasn't been as good this year as he was last year. I'm not sure what it is. Maybe he's not trusting his eyes as much. And the pick against the Jaguars also wasn't very good. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure what he's seeing out there. Can't be in his head. But he's been fine, and I think he'll rebound towards the end of the season.
I don't know, man. Marcus pretty good to me. so like you have plays like the one where he threw the interception, and that sucks. I don't know what happened there. But you also have plays where he rolls to his right, and Jonnu Smith is supposed to come open over the middle, and he gets jammed up at the line, and then he rolls back away from protection and throws a touchdown pass to Eric Decker, who broke off late, which is not something that just every quarterback can do. Also, you have that play early in the game where there's a read option kind of look, and the Ravens cover it well, and he like stiff arms a guy or like half hurdles him and then runs to the edge and gets eight when he should have, you know, lost five. I don't know, man. Like, I think it's more of an issue with play calling. Like, maybe the guy who's calling tight end jet sweeps on the 1 yard line is not necessarily, and who loves the tight end screen is not necessarily, you know, the brightest bulb. But also, I think yesterday he was 8 of 8 on play action passes for something like 100 yards and a touchdown. And my question is, if he's 8 of 8 with a touchdown and a bunch of yards, why didn't he 12 of 12? I mean, why are you only throwing that way 8 times in an offense where you're almost always under center, or you can almost always be under center faking the handoff? You know, if it's that effective for you, don't pick and choose with it. You know, make them stop it. Make them force one incompletion against it before, you know, you take it away. I mean, if I'm Malarkey, I don't know why, or I guess Rubisky, I don't know why you don't just run play action every pass and then run it half the time too. I mean, what are they going to do? Just start guessing and picking and choosing? I mean, if you say you're going to have to pay special attention to Marcus and Delanie Walker, especially on those play action passes, then Henry or Murray better be getting yards. And if they're not getting yards, then find somebody who can. You know, if you're that good on play action, I mean, there's no reason why you should go away from it. I mean, I remember Peyton Manning running a ton of play action. I mean, they used to do specials on him every single weekend where it was like, look at how well he fakes this handoff. Look at how well he fakes. Mariota can fake it almost as well when he actually wants to put the ball all the way in the stomach and then pull it out. And I mean, there's a reason why Delanie Walker gets these huge 25-yard catches, is because these linebackers freeze, because it's a really good read. I mean, it's hard to read that. So why not take advantage of that more? So I guess my thing is, you know, he threw a really good touchdown pass to Rishard Matthews. He made something out of nothing getting the touchdown pass to Eric Decker, who, you know, has not necessarily had the best last few games. And, I mean, he got Corey Davis the ball on a toe tapper on the outside, which was really good. And then he had a pass dropped by Rishard Matthews that should have been a first down, and he hit him right in the hands, and he dropped on the sideline. Rishard Matthews never drops a pass. But, you know, when it mattered most, he went all the way up the field in the fourth quarter for a touchdown to really seal the game. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm just glass half full.
I will say that throw he made to Rishard Matthews in traffic, the one that was actually caught, that's one of the best throws I've seen in a long time, period.
Yeah, and I think the narrative would be a lot different if we just converted some of these drives that end up in field goals into passing touchdowns, which, I mean, as much as you want to think that it's never going to happen, football is a game where regression happens and touchdown regression happens. So a lot of these drives that are ending up in field goals are going to end up touchdowns by the end of the season, and you're going to see it over the next coming weeks. And odds are they're going to be passing touchdowns because our running game is not very good right now. So, I mean, let's say four of those drives end in passing touchdowns other than field goals. He'd have 10 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. No one would be complaining at all right now. So take that, everyone.
Yeah.
And
it's coming.
I mean, obviously, at the beginning of the year, all these people who were saying, you know, man, if Mariota played for an offensive coordinator that would spread it out instead of trying to run the ball, all this and that. And then you think, well, you know, that's not really who the Titans are. They're not a spread it out and play from the gun kind of team. They're built to run the ball and go play action off of that and then have a very good 2-minute offense. At this point, considering how bad the running game has been, going from one of the best in the NFL to one of the least effective, I'm not so sure that running a modified spread offense in a way wouldn't be the best alternative.
Yeah, no, I agree. I actually think if we spread it out and went like 3 wide or maybe 4 wide and just like ran a lot of read option or run pass options, we would be absolutely unstoppable.
My only thing about that, though, is that was exactly what DeMarco Murray's demise was in Philadelphia, was that kind of offense.
Right, but DeMarco Murray's
in
Washington.
But you can't hold. I'm kidding. Yeah, you can't hold the quarterback hostage because the running back can't do it. Like if you can pick an offense to base around the quarterback or running back, you've got to pick it around the quarterback, especially one like Marcus. So, I mean, I'd like to see more pistol looks. You know, that offset back stuff is trash a lot of times. There's no reason why you can't do a lot of those looks out of pistol. It's just easier for bad quarterbacks to stare at the defense while they do it instead of turn and stare at the ones that matter. But Marcus is smart enough where he can do that out of pistol, those read option looks and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, now that Corey Davis is healthy, Corey Davis is the guy that makes all this go. I mean, if he's not healthy, you really only have 2 wide receivers that need to see the field consistently anyway. And if he's healthy, now you have 3 guys who need to see the field healthy. And then if they're drawing the attention they need, then Walker should be open. And if none of those guys are open, then either Mariota's got space to run or Murray's a great dump-off option. I mean, that's just the way the numbers work out. So if you can find a way to say, these are my best 11 players, how do I get them out on the field and get them in space, then you're going to have a good team with this personnel. If you're dedicated to some scheme and, you know, after your 15 scripted plays, if you just kind of say, okay, let's go conservative and let's just try to run the ball and, you know, we'll pass when we have to, if you do that, then, you know, you're going to be in trouble. So, I mean, when the Titans are aggressive, they're usually pretty good. It's just they're usually not very aggressive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we will be back later in the week to preview the Titans' upcoming snooze fest against the Cincinnati Bengals, who went from being an AFC powerhouse to being the AFC's laughingstock in just a few short years. Until then, thank you for listening. For Matthias Wadner, Will Lomas, I'm Luke Worsham. The Titans are 6-3. And you should be happy about that. We will talk to you next time.